The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Thursday, June 22, 2023. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel is taking part in the summit for a new global financing pact this Thursday, a forum inaugurated by the head of state, Emmanuel Macron. The Cuban president was received by French Minister of Europe and Foreign Affairs, Catherine Colonna, at the Palais Brongniart a few minutes before the opening of the two-day event in which about 100 heads of state and government are participating as guests. Díaz-Canel is attending the forum as the president of the group of 77 plus China, a bloc that includes 134 of the 193 United Nations member states, of which Cuba holds a presidency pro tempore this year. The forum aims to address the challenge of building a more responsive, equitable, and supportive financial system from multilateralism, allowing it to face inequalities, accompany the fight against climate change, and materialize sustainable development. Díaz-Canel will reiterate Cuba's positions during the forum and its meetings in Paris. The summit for a new global financing pact will conclude on Friday, June 23, with a family photo, the closing ceremony, and a press briefing. On the other hand, Audrey Azoulay, General Director of UNESCO, received in Paris the President of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel, and discussed the close ties between Cuba and UNESCO and the will to promote them. Díaz-Canel said he felt at home at the headquarters of the multilateral organization and thanked for the opportunity of being there. They had met before in Havana on December 2019 during an official visit by Azoulay, and in November 2018 during a transit visit through French soil by the head of the Cuban state. This new meeting took place in the context of the attendance of the Cuban president at the summit being held on the new global financial pact. August 2022 marked the 75th anniversary of UNESCO's ties with Cuba, and Díaz-Canel took advantage of the occasion to highlight the shared values and to thank the multilateral organization for its support in the fight against the U.S. economic, commercial, and financial blockade. According to an article published in Washington, the U.S. blockade against Cuba is to economically asphyxiate the island and deprive its citizens of basic resources indispensable for life. The text, published on the website Common Dreams, narrates the experience of two young Americans who visited the Caribbean country to participate last May 1st in the celebrations for International Workers' Day and describes firsthand the damages caused by the siege maintained by successive U.S. administrations. As members of the youth cohort of the Code Pink organization, our objective was to understand the Cuban political system, the U.S. blockade, and its impact on the daily life of Cubans, said signatories Eli Smith and Caitlin Blancard. They evoked in their article how, after the triumph of the Cuban Revolution in 1960, a memorandum from the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Inter-American Affairs recommended making the Caribbean people suffer. On that occasion, the official said that if the United States wanted to counter the rise of communism in his backyard, he would have to deny money and supplies, decrease monetary and real wages to provoke hunger, despair, and an overthrow of the government. And the blockade was there. The authors also described their tour of poor neighborhoods in transformation, where they were able to see how residents are developing their communities to have better access to health care, food, and other services. They further concluded that 150 young people from the United States and Canada who visited the island at the end of April 2023 returned to their homeland with a deep commitment to ending a blockade that has lasted more than 60 years. The Cuban Ministry of Higher Education has been implementing a series of innovations in university admissions so as to contribute to the local development's interests in the municipalities. A series of new actions are already underway in Pinar del Rio, Villa Clara, and Holguín provinces aimed at transferring the admission process from a national approach to one with greater territorial participation, the Ministry of Education announced in a press release. René Sánchez, Director of Admissions and Job Placement at the Ministry of Education, told Grammar newspaper that the change in management would not affect the organization of the examinations. The new measures will satisfy the need for a skilled labor force in the country's sectors, Sánchez stated. The head of General Customs of the Republic of Cuba, Nelson Cordoves, met in Brussels on Wednesday with the Secretary General of the World Customs Organization, WCO, Cunio Micurilla, to discuss bilateral collaboration. The meeting was part of Cordoves' participation in the 141st and 142nd sessions of the Customs Cooperation Council being held until Saturday with delegations from the 185 member countries. Cordoves took the opportunity to present the WCO Secretary General with a coin on the 60th anniversary of the socialist customs as a symbol of friendship and relations between the two institutions. Cuban ambassador to Belgium and the European Union, Yaira Jimenez, also attended the meeting. The General Customs of the Republic of Cuba chief is expected to hold other meetings in this capital as part of his collateral agenda at the 141st and 142nd sessions of the Customs Cooperation Council, a forum that addresses issues such as training, tariffs, trade facilitation, and the functioning of the WCO. And in the international agenda, we have that the Superior Electoral Court of Brazil began the trial against former President Jair Bolsonaro for attacks on the elective system, which may disqualify him from holding public office for 8 years and subsequently leave him out of the presidential elections scheduled for 2026. On July 18th, the ex-governor repeated unfounded and already disproved suspicions about electronic ballot boxes and the process of the elections before some 40 foreign diplomats and gave a presentation with misinformation about the said ballot boxes and suggested the participation of the armed forces to correct voting system failures. He also questioned the integrity of the electoral method and the ministers of the Tribunal Superior Council and the Federal Supreme Court. He based his rhetoric on an investigation opened by the federal police in 2018 with the authorization of the Federal Supreme Court on the hacking of the system of the Superior Electoral Court. However, the court repeatedly reported that access was blocked and did not interfere with any results. A month later, the Democratic Labor Party accused Bolsonaro and General Walter Braga Neto, who ran for vice president, of alleged abuse of political power and misuse of the media during the electoral campaign. If necessary, the examination of the actions in the Superior Electoral Court may continue in the sessions of June 27th and 29th. Meanwhile, Bolivia ranks among the 10 nations with the lowest inflation on the planet, having registered 0.6% in May, according to the Minister of Economy, Marcelo Montenegro. Montenegro said that the list is headed by China with 0.2% inflation, followed by Panama, Switzerland, and Greece. As for South America, he said that Bolivia is in second place after Ecuador, which registered 0.5% also in May. The economic authority said that the circulation of dollars in the national market is normalizing, despite the fact that foreshadowing voices of certain analysts predicted a crisis more than 2 months ago. The Association of Private Banks of Bolivia, during a meeting held last Friday, informed that the delivery of dollars at the request of the population is being regularized. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unite us.